definitely priests.
Yeah, I brought very easy to read. Just saying.
Something in the apostles.
There's not even a teacher here, and you're still a teacher's pet.
12 points. 12 points of doctrine in the apostles.
And that doesn't make any sense.
In the Apostles' Creed. It's
gotta
be
in the Apostles' Creed. There we go. 12 points of doctrine in the Apostles'
Creed. Yes. That's it. Creed isn't there.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yes. Happy Christmas Eve.
Yes, we have made it.
Yes. We're not sure when you're listening to this, if this is pre or post Christmas, but hopefully it's...
I assume this is the first thing people do when they get up.
Yeah, they just... the first thing you do is you reach for your phone.
That's right.
You hit play, and then you just lay in bed.
And listen, wake up to the dulcet tones.
Let this wash on over you. Right.
It's more refreshing than a cup of coffee. Yes. It's great.
Yeah. Well, Merry Christmas. Welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring and take our faith beyond Sunday morning or beyond Christmas Eve service, or whatever it is for you.
Yeah.
I, Patrick Nazaroff, am here, as always, with Pastor David Bowser.
Good morning.
And Katie Phillips. Hi, Katie.
Merry Christmas Eve.
Merry Christmas Eve, yes. So we're going to talk a little bit about Christmas today.
Yeah.
Kind of some of the spiritual meanings, the deeper meanings for us. Neat things that are going on in this time and season. Mm-hmm. But first, I have an article for us to look at.
Awesome.
Yes, as always here. Did you know...
Yes.
...that listening to Christmas music... ...that listening to Christmas music can harm your mental health.
Oh, no,
I
did not.
Where did you get this
I'm
from?
On board. Let's go. What do we got?
CBS Baltimore.
Yep, what? Baltimore is my new favorite city on the Eastern Seaboard.
Yeah. I call false.
This is a clinical psychologist, Linda Blair. See? Take this up with Linda Blair. All right. Yes. And there is an asterisk here. It's listening to Christmas music too early. Can harm your mental health.
I see.
Yes. That she argues that when stores or you start listening to Christmas music too early, it can bring up the stresses of Christmas in you earlier.
Sure.
And earlier each season. This is from 2017, but here I have on here, Best Buy in 2017 started playing Christmas music. Does anyone want to guess a date?
November 1st.
Katie, do you have a guess? Do you want to go below or after? Before or after November 1st?
That was kind of a good one. I'm going to go earlier.
Yeah, and you would be correct. October 22nd.
Ooh, look at that.
Best Buy started incorporating...
Pre-Halloween.
Started incorporating Christmas music into their songs.
Wow.
Interesting. Yes. That's a week before my birthday.
Wow.
That's not even Halloween. Like, that's pretty crazy.
Early. That is pretty early.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So hearing those songs over and over and over again can bring up the stresses that you have in life. But... She also would say, if Christmas is a happy, exciting holiday for you, listening to those songs over and over again can make it happier and more exciting for you. So I think that Christmas songs and music ultimately amplify what you're already feeling about the Christmas season.
That seems reasonable, yeah.
Yep.
So, and then the earlier you're connected to that, probably the more prolonged space you have to live in there.
Yeah. I know that for me, like, radio Christmas music amps up the stress, but like singing Christmas music in church does not do the same thing to me. It's just like, you know, being in the car or in a store and just having that constantly playing in the background, that is a short drive to insanity for me sometimes.
Yeah, probably. Maybe we instead need to work on expanding our store's Christmas music repertoire.
Yeah,
you know, there's a lot of Christmas stuff out there.
For all you corporate owners out there,
yes,
here now, expand the repertoire.
Yes, for the Best Buy CEO who is letting this wash over him on Christmas morning.
Right. Who started washing over him on October 22nd.
Yes, yes. Hear our words. Next year, mix it up.
Yeah. Give us a variety. I mean, if I'm in Target for less than 45 minutes and I've heard the same Christmas song three times, I feel like we need to do something about it.
And then
that,
imagine the employees of Target.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah,
Who are already probably stressed about the Christmas season.
Who are already not a fan.
Yes.
Same five songs on repeat. With slightly different versions, I guess. Yeah, that might be the worst part. Is that always the same songs
just
that different artists have done?
Well, yeah, you've got to hear Mariah Carey sing it.
Sure.
You've got to hear
Justin Timberlake sing it.
Sure.
Yeah. The Jackson 5 sing it.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Kids bop.
Yeah. K-pop. Funk. Pop.
Sure. Everybody's singing it.
Jazz.
Ariana Grande, probably.
Probably. Yeah. And why not? All the artists. I'm hip. I know music things
that kids the kids these days like.
that's it. Hey, so we want to talk a little bit about Christmas, and not just the day of Christmas that we're all familiar with of December 25th, but within the church we have this thing, this the season of Christmas. And so that season really starts on Christmas Day. That's day number one, and goes for, anybody want to guess how long it goes for?
12 days.
It does go for 12 days, which is where we get some confusion around like the 12 days of Christmas. Oftentimes, outside of the church, people think that's the 12 days before Christmas, like it's a countdown to Christmas. Or you've got things like, what is it? It used to be ABC Family, and now it's called something else, but they do their 25 days of Christmas movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. And now they have like their 25 days of Christmas before the 25 days of Christmas. It's like, yeah, it's a countdown to the countdown. Anyway, doesn't matter. The 12 days of Christmas start on Christmas Day and go through January 6th, because January 6th is always 13 days after December 25th. So this January 6th ends the Christmas season. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we wanted to do today was talk about...
You can get your true love.
What's that?
You get your true love something on the 12 days of Christmas.
For every day, you're going to get your true love. Absolutely. Yes. That's what we're going to talk about. And so do either of you know the origins of the 12 days of Christmas song? Not the 12 days of Christmas, like the season, but the song, the 12 days of Christmas.
I'm going to say this is one of those Christmas songs that really is pretty terrible.
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah. If this is playing on repeat in your Targets or Best Buys.
It is mind-numbingly English. Terrible. Yeah.
Is it from England? I'm still thinking about where it came from.
English. Or we listen to it in English.
Yeah, as far as I know, it's in English. Yeah. So,
Chinese.
No. Is it from England?
I do believe it is from England. Yeah, I do believe it's from England. There's kind of been this legend. I don't know if you are all ever familiar with this, but there's been this legend that it was used by Catholics in England under Protestant regime. And so they couldn't be... It was illegal to be Catholic in England at the time. And so they used this song, the 12 Days of Christmas, to teach the tenets of the Catholic faith under the auspices of hiding it from
the Protestants.
Right, yeah, hiding it from those Protestants. That is most likely not true, because a lot of the things that they reference would not have been in England at the time when England was under Protestant rule and all sorts of other things. But
Protestants also celebrate Christmas.
Protestants also celebrate Christmas, right. So it would not have been weird to celebrate Christmas. Another valid point. But there are some fun things that people have kind of like tried to associate each of the days with. So who wants to guess what the first day of Christmas,
the partridge in a pear tree.
What is the one partridge in a pear tree supposed to represent? Well,
probably Jesus.
God.
One God. That we have one God. Yeah. So I guess both of those are true because they are both part of the one God.
I win.
All right. Two turtle doves. Don't overthink it.
So what doves is like a Holy Spirit, or two could be like Adam and Eve.
Way overthinking it. Go simpler.
What comes in twos? Noah.
Old and New Testament.
Oh.
Yikes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The two.
Those Protestants really hate having an Old and New Testament.
They do. In England. Three French hens.
Trinity.
Yep, Trinity. Excellent. Four calling birds.
Four gospels.
Yep, potentially the gospels or the four horsemen of the apocalypse or potentially the four major prophets. I like the horsemen of the apocalypse personally because that's the one that I always forget about.
Which bird is pestilence?
Five golden rings.
Five.
For all you Old Testament nuts out there.
Oh, the... Five books of Moses.
Five books of Moses. Yep, the Torah. Yeah, the first five books of the Bible. Six geese a-laying.
Six.
Six, six, six. It's about Satan.
Yep, that's the one. No. It is about the 6 days of creation before God rested.
Okay.
Seven swans a-swimming.
Seven is a pretty holy number.
It is pretty holy. A lot of good holy things about seven. Yeah. Within the Catholic Church, seven is particularly important.
Deadly sins or seven righteous virtues?
Seven sacraments. I'll give you partial credit on righteous virtues, but so seven sacraments of the church. Eight maids a-milking. Famous things that Jesus said while standing on a mount.
Probably the Beatitudes.
There you go. Yes. Eight Beatitudes. Nine ladies dancing.
Yeah.
Think about, go back to your spirit that you were thinking about before.
The Holy Spirit.
Not the Holy Spirit, but what does the Holy Spirit give us? There are
the nine fruits of the spirit.
Of the
love
spirit.
And joy.
Love, joy, peace, patience, friends,
gentleness,
faithfulness,
self-control.
Yeah, something like that.
We probably got them.
Yeah, well, it sounds good. Nobody count. Don't write in about that.
Yeah.
Where are we? 10 lords a-leaping. Yep, 10 commandments. 11 pipers piping.
11 good disciples.
Faithful, yeah. 11 faithful disciples. Sorry, Judas. And 12 drummers drumming. The 12 doctrines and the Apostles' Creed. That's right. The 12 doctrines and the Apostles. So this is just one way, like, I do not find it particularly valuable to assign a meaning to every day of the 12 days of Christmas because I don't particularly like that song, and that song drives me insane. But there are all these little things that we have all around us that we can use to draw out our faith. And so if there's a song that you and your family love or that you personally love and you want to use it to remember, different aspects of the Christian faith, I don't have a problem with that. But we get mixed up in like kind of taking that and then saying, oh, well, that has to mean this. Like, Katie, you were talking about the candy cane earlier. You don't have to print it. Just give us a quick overview. What was the meaning of the candy cane?
Well, there are lots of meanings.
Meaning in air quotes.
Meaning in air quotes. So it's a hard candy because Jesus is solid as a rock.
Yep, that's made up.
Right.
I mean, Jesus is solid as a rock.
Right.
But that, yeah.
But, you know. Let's see. It's in the J shape. Which really, that's upside down for holding a candy cane the right way.
You are
way.
Doing your candy cane wrong.
If somebody is holding a candy cane in the J shape, you would look at them like they're a lunatic. Right. Like, why are you doing that to yourself?
But then it continues to say, a shepherd's staff. And I'm like, you just said it was a J, so
can't
how
be,
am I holding
can't be
this thing?
A J
thing?
And a shepherd's
right.
staff.
Right. So a shepherd's staff
any way you look at
Jesus
it,
is our shepherd.
Spiritual meaning.
Yes.
And then white, because Jesus makes us white as snow.
Right.
And then, this is interesting. So the little red lines around your candy cane are for Jesus's blood since he was crucified for us. And then the big red stripe was to remind us of the cross.
See, now I don't think I could have told you that there's a big and a little stripe on the candy. I just thought it was like red and white.
If
you buy the right brand of candy canes.
Yes, the more holy brand.
That's right. The holy brand of candy canes have a small red stripe.
So just interesting.
Well, and it's one of those
things. I think at Lifeway they have like Testa mints, and they're little mints, so they're more holy than regular Altoids. So that's the kind of candy canes you need.
Excellent. That's what we need to look for. But it's one of those things where, again, if you want to, give a child a candy cane or give a friend a candy cane and say, hey, this helps me think about Jesus because of these things, that's fine. But let's not pretend that candy canes were made to remind us of those things.
Right.
That, candy canes were made to create a product that people would buy that's delicious and minty and refreshing, and the rest of it is just a little byproduct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think there's lots of things that we do with that at Christmas time. And so one of the ways that I kind of personally draw myself back to that is to think about some of the Christmas hymns that, as you might remember from our previous Advent episode in the church, we've not been singing. But tonight in Christmas Eve and in the next 12 days of Christmas in churches, we get to sing some of these great Christmas songs that I personally love, I think a lot of our communities love. And so I thought it'd be cool if we took a minute and just kind of talked about what are some meaningful Christmas carol lyrics that mean a lot to us. Does that sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
That's good, because otherwise I don't know what we're going to talk about for the rest of this podcast.
I'm protesting. I'm going to sit here and pout.
Patrick's going to pout. Fortunately, not a visual medium, so no one can see you pouting. Take that. I don't know what that's going to sound like, but I don't think it's what you intended.
It's going to sound... They got it. Okay. Our listeners are smart people.
Katie, you want to go first?
You guys are off the rails, Jay.
We are. It's Christmas morning, or Christmas Eve morning.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Santa's almost
here,
Katie.
The excitement is real. Okay, so this is the third song I've chosen. So I'm going with this.
All right,
I'm making up my mind. And it's not found in your hymnal, but probably have heard it. Sung usually by choirs.
Okay.
Would sing this at Christmas time, and it's called Still, Still, Still. Mm.
I've played it on the piano once upon a time as a child.
Have you? Okay.
Yep, for a Christmas recital that I hated.
I'm sure it was lovely.
It was not.
So I will preface this with, I was in college
Shout out to Texas Lutheran University right here.
Woo-hoo. TLU, the Fighting
Bulldogs.
Bulldogs, go Bulldogs.
Rough. Okay, so we're all a little off the rails today. We always did a, and still do, a Vespers concert, the choir and the band together.
Vespers being like an evening worship concert.
Yeah, an evening worship concert. Okay. And it's 3 days long. We do the same, not in total. Okay. Three different performances.
I gotcha.
72 hours.
Yes, it's very long. We're very thirsty by the end. No. Anyway, and it was always so meaningful. It's just mm-hmm. a service mm-hmm. of lessons and carols. And 1 year we ended the service with still. And we all had candles, like a candle in our hand. And we all processed off of the risers on the mm-hmm. stage, and we stood in the aisles, and all the lights went dark. So ooh. The only thing you have, your and audience candles. Is, yep. you know, all the audience mm-hmm. is in there, and then it's in this huge auditorium. I mean, it's mm-hmm. just beautiful. And so I still remember singing still, and it was, I mean, like you could literally hear a pin drop. Like it was very magical, the holding a candle and singing it and the sounds and just the people, like you heard nothing.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was awesome. So, but I wanna, the second verse is sleep, 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 'tis the eve of our Savior's birth. The night is peaceful all around you. Close your eyes, let sleep surround you. Sleep, 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 'tis the eve of our Savior's birth. And I love that, just the peacefulness of it all. And night and
hearing that and getting the chance to sing that and have that remembered brings you back into that kind of holy space of your time in college, but also into a present holy space of stillness and rest and calm, and knowing that in the midst of chaos that surrounds us in the world, in this night there's peace because Jesus is being born, and that holiness
and
is
the
coming.
Holiness of it. I think that's the biggest part.
Yeah,
so I awesome. Love that.
Yeah, that's a great one. It's one we don't usually sing in church. You're right, but it is a very pretty song. I like that one a lot. So the one that I did, we also don't usually sing in church because it's lyrically kind of tough for a whole congregation to do. So we often have like a solo or somebody like that do it. But it's Of the Father's Love Begotten.
Probably not played in Best Buy this year.
Probably not, which is too bad because it's a really like. Melodically, I find it to be a really beautiful piece. But the first verse says this: Of the Father's love begotten, ere the worlds began to be, he is Alpha and Omega, he the source, the ending he, of the things that are, that have been, and that future years shall see, evermore and evermore. And so when we look at that and we think about, well, begotten's a weird word that we don't use that often anymore. But, you know, saying that essentially Jesus is not just born into the earth, but Jesus is born out of God's love for us. So where is Jesus coming from? Jesus is coming from God's love for us. Even though Jesus was there when the world began, Jesus was the beginning, the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is the source. You know, he was with God in creation, as we hear John talk about, right? The Word was with God in the beginning. Everything that is, that has been, that will be from now and forever, ever and evermore, Jesus is a part of that. Mm-hmm. And it all is because Jesus was born out of God's love for us. And so for in this moment, you're right, as we're prepping for a Christmas Eve service where I'm going to spend, I don't know, roughly 12 hours, you know, trying not to go insane as we run around last minute and get angel costumes on little kids and candles in the right place and people seated in the right spot and communion bread to the right people and make sure that everything, every little thing falls in its proper place, that moment to say, you know what, all of this comes out because God loves us. That's the only reason that this happens. If God did not love us, Jesus would not have been brought into the world. And that for me is a constant and necessary reminder throughout the Christmas season, but throughout the whole year for me. What about you, Patrick?
Well, I went a little different direction.
I love it.
Which is good because we want a different perspective here. So the lyrics I chose actually are O Holy Night lyrics. Yes. Typically it seems like sung by prepubescent boy who sure. hit those high notes because there's a lot of them.
Yep.
Yes.
Just like that.
Let's hear it. You want to sing a few bars for us?
Oh, holy night.
Mm-hmm. The stars are brightly shining.
Yeah. So I'm actually looking at the
I couldn't have told you the second line.
So. The third. Well, you're definitely not going to be able to probably say the third verse of O Holy
Chains
Night.
Chains shall he break?
Yes.
For the slave is our brother.
Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains he shall break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Mm. Song was written in 1847. I did some Wikipedia research.
Yeah.
At a time of, you know, revolution or the post-revolution or pre-revolution, I don't know my American history very well, but a time where the idea of breaking chains is very prevalent mm-hmm. in American history. It's a French song, actually, but
we'll take it for it. They were doing their own revolution stuff over there. About the
but they're still kind of probably hitting the similar beats of the American Revolution abolition's coming through. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Thinking about freedom of slavery and
So I think for me, this is the idea that when Jesus comes, even in Bethlehem until today as we celebrate this, it's not just a spiritual movement that's coming on, but it's also has a revolutionary movement aspect to it. That is mm-hmm. a revolt against the evils of this world, both spiritual and tangible. And that Christ and Christians should be a part of turning those things over, whatever that may be. And it's not necessarily just through our voting or through through our, you know, in the spiritual realm, but also in a personal realm. Whatever it is inside of you that needs to be revolted against.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In our Bible studies for our high school kids, we've been looking at Mary over the last couple of days, couple of weeks. Yeah. And so we're looking at kind of the angel's proclamations to Mary. And one of the things that he says to her is, you know, like, hey, good news. I brought to you the Son of God. He will be king. It's very like royal imagery going on. And I think for us now, we're missing out on, I think, some of those imagery that we don't see. Because for Mary, this idea of like a good news has already come through Rome and into Israel. Gospel came through. That's what good news means, gospel. And that was the birth of Caesar Augustus was the good news of Rome. And they also had a Son of God, which was Caesar Augustus. Good news, the Son of God has been born, Caesar Augustus. Because Julius Caesar was God in their version of who they upheld to God.
Right.
And then Israel had a king, and that was Herod. They had these things in place. So when the angel is telling Mary these things, these very clear parallels to what is going on in their world at the time, he is bringing her into something more than just a spiritual thing. It's something very dangerous to be a part of at that time.
Yeah.
In fact, they will have to flee oppression very early on. And Jesus one day will die at the hands of the Romans for being, you know, a rabble-rouser, for bringing up these things. And so I think for us, I love this idea that Christmas is this beautiful image of a baby coming to change literally every aspect within us. And I think that that's a beautiful image for us.
Yeah.
And a powerful one.
Absolutely. As a momentary sidebar, you guys familiar with the song Mary, Did You Know?
Yes.
I am.
Yeah.
Mary, okay. Did You Know?
Yeah, that's the one. Let's just all, I need to just take a moment in case anyone out there in podcast land is unclear. Mary, as Patrick just told us, did know. The song should last about 2 seconds and be, Mary, did you know?
Yes,
of course I
did.
Didn't you read Luke chapter 2 where I sang all about it? Like that. Like, let's just be clear.
Yes.
Mary knew.
Yes.
So please do not come to me and ask me to sing that song in church because Mary did know. And if you want to sing Mary the Magnificat, then I'll be glad to throw that out. But yes, Mary knew. That's the answer to the question. Yeah, that's that. So I've got one other thing for us.
Okay.
This is about a little guy named Saint Nick. Not Jesus. Not Jesus this time, Patrick. This is a guy named Saint Nick. Are you guys familiar with Saint Nicholas at all?
I am. He fought a dude.
He did fight a dude. That's my favorite story of Saint Nicholas as well. Other people talk about giving presents, but no, come on.
I knew the
fighting
giving
a guy.
Presents part.
So Saint Nicholas. Nicholas was... let's back up. There's no historical documentation
that this guy ever actually existed. But there are people who wrote about him a couple hundred years after he's claimed to have existed in a region where he would have been known for being kind of a good bishop of an area. And he would have been a couple of the legends that go along with him were like giving presents to, mm-hmm. to people who needed something. Also paying the dowries or the wedding price for mm-hmm. A couple girls whose families could not afford to marry them off. So he paid that for them so that they could have their daughters be safe and secured going mm-hmm. forward. My favorite story, as Patrick referenced a moment ago, is that the Council of Nicaea, which was a major council in church history, it was a time when bishops from all over the Mediterranean, which is where the church existed at the time, came together to basically say, what do we believe? What mm-hmm. do we think the church should say we believe? This is where we get the Nicene Creed is from this council. And there's a guy named Arius, and we know that Arius existed, and we know that Arius was kind of accused of promoting a heresy, mm-hmm. what we now call a heresy. And at the time, the legend goes that Nicholas was so offended by the heresy that he walked over and punched Arius in the face mm-hmm. in the middle of this conference of bishops. Mm-hmm. And so now there are Christmas memes that go around that have a picture of the Saint Nicholas that say, "I came to give presents and punch heretics, and I ran out of presents." And you know, so it's always fun. But so we celebrate Saint Nicholas Day. Well, some people do. Either of you celebrate Saint Nicholas Day? I should start there. No.
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 Northern Europeans often do this. So I had a friend in college whose family was back to Holland, and it was big there. But it's December 6th is St. Nicholas Day. Mm-hmm. And the proximity of St. Nicholas to Christmas is how these two things in American culture kind of got conflated. Parents, I want to preface this by saying, if you have younger kids, you might not want them to be listening to the following portion of the podcast, because I don't know exactly what we're going to say, but we'll just... Just a heads up. So St. Nicholas kind of transformed into this, the legend that we have around Santa Claus and the mm-hmm. idea of bringing gifts to people and using this as an opportunity to draw people into the love of Christ. And really we have, I think, Coca-Cola to thank for our most recent understanding of Santa Claus.
Probably for the visual image of Santa Claus.
For jolly guy in a red suit with rosy cheeks and big white beard.
Yes.
Yeah.
That mm-hmm. Coca-Cola rebranded this idea into something else.
Yeah. But so what I'm curious about, as we're thinking about this is Christmas Eve and, you know, how do we celebrate this Christmas for 12 whole days? What do you guys think about this idea of like Santa and giving gifts and then celebrating this not just for one day, but for 12 days? What do you think that should look like? Or how do we make this a meaningful practice in our own lives?
We leave our Christmas lights up, like our Christmas decorations and all of that stay up until January 6th or around there. It depends on when January 6th is. We don't necessarily do like little gifts each day or, pretty much Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. That part is like the gift giving and all of that done. But we do leave our decorations up. And all of that.
Okay. We do that in the church. We leave the decorations mm-hmm. up until Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Or until Epiphany, January 6th. Right.
I think, you know, regardless of when you take your Christmas stuff down, whether that's January 6th, whether that's December 26th, whether it's you've never put it up at all.
Yeah.
You know, I think that these ideas and these songs that we chose or this idea of giving should not be primarily centered around one section of the year.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that does create the challenge for all of us. So we want to be giving generous people who celebrate the birth of Jesus daily, but we really do are like, let's just shove it all into one day.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
You know, or one season at best.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's go back to the real world
mm-hmm.
after that.
Yeah, what would it mean for us to like think about, you know, because we talk about like playing Santa for other people, right? Parents. Yeah. I've heard like parents will say like, "Oh, I'm bringing my child into the story of Santa. Like, I'm going to let them give a gift to someone else mm-hmm. as Santa this year."
Yeah.
You know, as kind of kids get older and figure that out, what would it mean to like play Santa to someone in February
mm-hmm.
or in you know, June or July?
Yeah.
You know, saying that like, "Hey, there are people who have things that they need, and we have mm-hmm. an opportunity to step in mm-hmm. and care for them."
Yeah.
And that's a piece of our call. As Christians who have gone through this Advent and Christmas season, and now we know that this is our life. This isn't just a once a year thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a helpful place for us to kind of wrap up a thought on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So hopefully all of you out there in podcast land are having a very, very Merry Christmas Eve. Here at Lord of Life, we've got worship coming up at 4, at 6, at 8, and at 11. If you are not here in the Houston area, go check out worship at a local church. If you go to a Lutheran church, odds are you'll get to see some candles lit and sing Silent Night. If you go somewhere else, maybe you will do that, maybe you won't. But yeah, go see what Christmas is all about. Go check out Christmas Eve. Spend some time with people you care about. And hey, Jesus is born, so that's pretty great.
And if you're listening to this post-Christmas...
Well, then what are you doing? Why didn't you listen to this when you woke up and let the dulcet tones of Patrick Nazaroff just wash over you in the morning?
You know, there's probably churches open on Sunday. You know, that's usually a good time. That's true. This next Sunday, whatever that may be.
Check one out. Yes. Go to church.
I have a recommendation.
Excellent.
Yes. Since it's our Christmas season, I actually have another album to recommend, and that is... this album by this guy named Andrew Peterson wrote an album called Behold the Lamb of God, and he wrote like a Christmas musical.
Hmm.
But it doesn't start with Mary or Jesus. It actually starts with Moses.
Nice.
And so he kind of says the Christmas story in Scripture is at the beginning. It's not just happens when Mary hits the scene, but it's a narrative that's been going on throughout the entirety of Scripture. And so the beats that are going on in the Exodus, in the Kings, in Roman occupation, are all beats that come to play or come to be fulfilled in Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's kind of fun. It's definitely got some humor and some silliness to it, but I think it's got some really neat storytelling in it.
Awesome. So, okay, what's the name of it again?
Behold the Lamb of God by Andrew Peterson.
Behold
the Lamb of God.
It's about 40 minutes long, so it's not even that long.
Like a short,
it's a drive home. Yeah.
It's a drive home. Yes.
Some of us don't live 40 minutes away.
It's 30 drive homes for you.
That's about right. Yeah. We'll make it. All right. So we hope you have a very Merry Christmas Eve from all of us at the Beyond Sunday podcast. Merry Christmas to you and yours. You can find us at beyondsundaypodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook at the Beyond Sunday podcast. You can follow us on Instagram at beyond_Sunday. You can Instagram at us with all your Christmas photos of ways that you're celebrating the 12 days of Christmas. We'd love to see that. You can find this and all of our other episodes on Apple Podcasts, on Google Play, on Spotify, really wherever you want to find your favorite podcast provider. Be sure to give the gift that keeps on giving and rate and subscribe and review and all of those things and share it with a friend because we would love to continue to let this be heard by other people so that we can find out just how we can take faith beyond Sunday morning all together. Yeah. I think that's all. An email address. We've got that too.
Man, we've got everything.
We got everything. If you want it, we've got it. We are your day after Christmas special giveaway right here. Email address beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah, so if you have a hard to buy for relative, just get a little card and say, check out Beyond Sunday Podcast.
Right.
Here's a gift to
Merry
you.
Merry Christmas.
Yes.
The gift that, it's like the Jelly of the Month Club, except it's every week.
Right.
Yes.
Podcast of the Week Club.
Man.
Every week it's us.
Every week, this is a gift to them from you. That's pretty easy. Yeah. Pretty great. Pretty good.
We just did your Christmas shopping for you.
Yes.
You're
congratulations.
Welcome.
Congratulations.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. We hope you have a lovely Christmas season and Happy New Year whenever we come back to you again next week. I guess next week will be New Year's.
That's
exciting. It'll be New Year's Eve.
Oh, it'll be New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
That's really exciting.
That's how 7 days from Christmas Eve works.
I feel like there needs to be a countdown in order.
12 drummers drumming.
No. Pipers piping, New Year's 10. Eve, not Christmas.
Lords of Leaping. Nine,
okay,
ladies,
you guys
dancing,
have a wonderful,
eight,
wonderful
milking,
week.
Seven swans
Merry Christmas
swing,
to all.
Six geese a-laying. 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 turtle doves, and a
partridge in a pear tree.
Yikes.
Merry
okay.
Christmas.
Merry Christmas.